Hello, everybody. It's Larry Goins. Welcome to the bi-weekly Q&A calls. How is everyone?
Great.
Awesome. Great.
So it's pouring down rain in Lake Wylie, South Carolina. So if you're just now joining us, I want to thank you for being on here. I really appreciate your business. We got a lot of things going on, a lot of people doing deals. I get emails almost every day, people out there crushing it, and it's awesome. I'm really excited. So if you're just now joining us, you're joining a great community. Make sure you sign up for our Facebook group at Larry Goins Official Inner Circle Group, and people are chatting with each other and helping each other on that community of students as well. So let's just jump right in. The way this works is feel free to ask a question. Be respectful of others. Ask one or two at a time and then give somebody else a chance. And I'll stay on here as long as it takes. So who has the first question? Don't everybody jump in at once.
Hey, Larry, this is Jeremy Greening. I'll start. We recently relocated back to the West Coast after spending 4 years in the Nashville, Tennessee area. And
why would
we're
you
specifically
want to do that?
For family reasons.
Okay.
But we do see a business opportunity in the Reno and Carson Valley areas of Nevada. And I was wondering if anybody on the line had any business contacts out there for me to help build an additional power team.
Are you where did you relocate to?
The Reno area, but we also have family in Los Angeles. So we're kind of dividing our time and trying to identify some new target markets out west.
Okay. How far is Reno from Las Vegas?
It's about 7 hours.
Oh, okay. All right, never mind. I'm going to be in Las Vegas on Wednesday speaking at Steve Love's group. He's got a group in Las Vegas, and he has a group in Los Angeles as well. It's a great group. I think it's Steve Love, L-O-V-E. And
okay.
I think the name of the group is Prosperity Real Estate Group or Prosperity Through Real Estate or something like that. Maybe you'll find it under L-A, RIA, R-E-I-A. But Steve Love is his name. I'm sure if you Google his name along with Los Angeles Real Estate Investors or Prosperity or something like that, you'll find it. But that would be a good group to associate with and to learn from. I spoke there last month, and I'm speaking at his Las Vegas group on Wednesday night. So
great.
You can also check and see if there's another RIA group in Reno. I don't know if there's a RIA group in Reno or not. I'm not really sure.
There's some meetup groups. There's about three or four, and I've had the chance to attend one seminar and start corresponding directly with several members.
Uh-huh. Good. I'm not sure if anybody is on the line that has any connections there or not, but if so, feel free to jump in. All right, apparently not. So, I would search, like you said, you've probably already looked at the meetup groups and as well as some other sources as well. So, you know, if I can help you with anything, please let me know. But I would definitely check the RIA groups and the meetup groups and that sort of thing. And you could get on the Facebook group, the Larry Goins Official Student Group and Official Inner Circle Group, and chat up there and ask as well. What type of real estate are you going to be doing?
We'd like to look at some owner financing in that area, similar to what we had started in Tennessee, and then possibly some wholesaling as well.
Okay, good. There's also some really good Facebook groups that have thousands of members, such as Wholesaling Houses Full Time. That's a good Facebook group, Wholesaling Houses Full Time. There's a lot of people there from all over the country. And you can, I've seen people on there ask, you know, hey, I got a property in such and such. Will somebody go inspect it for me or put out some signs or be my boots on the ground? So
gotcha.
I would check out some of those Facebook groups.
Okay. Thank you, Larry.
You're very welcome. I hope that helped. Good. Who else has a question?
Hey, Larry, it's Jeannie Hunter. How are you?
What's happening?
Oh, good. Just lots going on. So Chad and I are pretty new, and we are kind of looking through, trying to kind of find our market niche as well. We're wanting to focus on the filthy riches on finance.
Okay.
And what my question is pretty simple, but as far as like getting comps online, we don't have access to MLS, but I know we were told like to maybe use iComps, and I'm having a hard time using that. It's given me an error on lots of different browsers that I'm trying. Is there another route that you would go as far as that you found for good comps?
Well, does it say, you know, I haven't used that site myself. We use the sold comps on Zillow, and we use RealQuest, right?
Okay.
So we use one of those.
Okay.
We just haven't used, did you say it's called iComps?
Yes, sir. iComps.com.
Yeah, I haven't heard of that or used it.
Okay. Okay. Well, no big deal. I can go off of the Zillow. Do you find that the Zillow sold? I mean, even in states that are kind of or that are non-disclosure for Texas or anything like that, are they pretty solid on, or is it kind of, how far would you trust it, I guess?
Well, as long as you're looking at sold comps,
okay,
you know, that's factual data. That's not opinions or estimates. As long as you're looking at sold comps, that's what you really want to look for, is sold comps, right?
Okay, sure. Okay. All right, well,
yes.
Perfect. Well, thanks so much on that.
Awesome. You're very welcome. You're very welcome. I hope that helped. But we use Zillow, the sold comps on Zillow, and RealQuest. Those are pretty much the main ones that we use. But if you search the property and go to Zillow, scroll down and look at neighborhood information, click on the neighborhood information link, there'll be a map. Click the minus button two or three times and zoom out, and it'll show you all the solds there.
Okay.
Right around your house. Right.
Okay.
And you can also click on comparable houses, click on comparable sold and comparable for sale, and it'll pull them all up.
Mm-hmm.
But don't pay too much attention. Don't put a whole lot of credence in the for sale. You want to base your information on what has actually sold, not what people are asking for it.
Okay. Can I ask you also, and maybe you don't want to answer this here, but about what is RealQuest going to run someone? Is it a monthly? Is it like a paid?
Hold on just 1 second, and I'll find out, okay?
Oh, okay.
Hey, Troy. I've got my inner circle call. What do we pay for RealQuest, or how do you use that as an agent, right?
Well, there's two versions.
Okay, hold on. You guys listen up. This is Troy.
Hi there. Hey, there's two versions that we go to get automated values. RealQuest Express is free. You go to express.realquest.com, or you just type it RealQuest Express, Google it, and that'll come on up, and you can search for properties for free there. It gives you this is put out by a company called CoreLogic. They're like one of the biggest or the biggest property data gatherers in the country. And I also have one, if you have a realtor here in the Charlotte area, we're allowed to access.
They're all over the country.
Yeah, you might, realtors sometimes can get the paid version. There's really not a whole lot of difference. Gives you more details under the paid version, but really we just need a ballpark price.
But RealQuest Express?
Yeah, RealQuest
Express. That's
a
free version,
that's
right?
Free, yeah. That's made up by CoreLogic. CoreLogic's used by the big banks to do home equity loans up to $100,000 without sending out an appraiser. So
awesome.
It's not bad.
Troy, thank you very much.
Sure.
Did you guys get that?
We did, yeah. Thank you.
Excellent. That's Troy. He's our acquisition manager. Good.
Okay, right, well, I think that answers it for me, Larry. Thank you so much.
Awesome. You're very welcome. I hope that helped.
You bet.
Awesome. Who else has a question?
Hey, Larry, this is Chad Hunter. I'm in a different location. Can you hear me?
What's up, Chad? How are you?
Good, good. I just had a quick question regarding eBay. We got a couple properties that we got up for sale on eBay, and we haven't sold anything on eBay yet as far as property goes, but I was just kind of curious because we got people sending us emails to ask us what the reserve is, and so we kind of really don't want to give up that information, or is that kind of standard practice for someone to reach out to you and find out what that is so they can make their bid?
Well, so are you selling houses for cash, or are you selling them where people are bidding on the down payment?
These ones, these two properties we're selling just for cash to get them out of our portfolio.
Oh, okay. Okay. And you listed them with no reserve at a low starting bid, right?
Well, no, we did a low starting bid, but we did put a reserve in there.
Oh, okay.
And,
okay.
But what people are asking is, you know, they're contacting us, reaching, you know, looking for other information, which of course we're giving them, but they want to know kind of what our reserve is. And so I'm kind of hesitant given that, you know, being it's like, you know, selling a vehicle and someone asks you how much you owe on it. You know what I mean?
So do they ask you that question in the chat in eBay?
Yes.
Okay. I wouldn't answer it there. You know, I wouldn't answer it there, but if there's a way to message them privately, I would say, you know, what are you willing to pay for the property?
Right.
You know, but I can't remember. I haven't personally set up the eBay things in a while myself.
Okay.
So that's the reason I'm not familiar with the private message versus, you know, asking a question on an item and everybody seeing it.
Well, yeah. But, yeah, of course. No.
Yeah. Are you selling these properties wholesale?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Have you also listed them on Craigslist and Facebook and put signs out as well?
We did a Craigslist. The problem with signs, these are in Ohio, and we're in Arizona right now, and our lady that was putting them out, they were getting stolen all the time.
Okay, what kind of signs are you putting out?
She just put out signs for sale by owner in the front yard. And
Here's what you need to do. You need to find a local person, okay? Find them on wholesaling houses full-time or, you know, a temp agency. Call a local temp agency in the city in Ohio, wherever the property is, or post an ad on Craigslist. Sign up for Simple Crew, simplecrew.com, and then you send the people a sign. Whenever you find somebody, you send them 25 signs. You invite them to join your team on Simple Crew, right? It's free for them. Then whenever they put the signs out, they're going to take a picture of it through the app, and it will geotag it and let you know exactly who put it out, when they put it out, and exactly where the sign is. And here's what you do. You order 25 or 30 signs. They're very simple. They're yellow with red text that say foreclosure, and it has an arrow, okay? And then put your phone number, and then you can, since you're only doing signs for this property, you can put the price on it if you want to, right?
Uh-huh. Right.
But you could also have whoever puts out the sign handwrite the price with a magic marker.
Right.
Right? So, and then put cash, and then put 25 signs out all around, one in the front yard, and then in the front of intersections, in the neighborhood, in front of CVS, Walgreens, Walmart, convenience stores, Lowe's, and Home Depot.
Okay.
And that's all you really need to sell that property. I guarantee it'll sell. If it's a wholesale deal, it will sell. And,
interesting.
And to get your sign, I'm not trying to tell you where to go to get them. It doesn't really matter to me. But if you call up banditsigns.com, go to their website, look up their phone number. I don't have it handy. But if you call them up and say, I want the Larry Goins foreclosure sign, they'll know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, great.
And you'll be using the exact same sign we use to sell all of our houses.
Okay. Well, great. That solves a lot of problems, and I appreciate it, Larry. We'll do that.
Sure. Just make sure you give them your phone number to put on the sign, or I'm going to be selling your houses for you.
Well, that's why we're on this call.
That's good. Well, I hope that helps. So, so you have two houses up, and where at in Ohio are they? Where are they?
They're Cleveland.
Cleveland. Okay.
Yep.
Are they let's just take one of them right quick. Tell me about one of them. Give me the pedigree on one of them, like bedroom,
one of
bath,
them,
all that stuff.
Yeah, one of them's a duplex, about 1,700 square foot. It's got a two bedroom upstairs, two bedroom downstairs, one bath each.
Uh-huh.
And so we
2-1 each.
Yep. And I take that back. No, they are. They're two bedroom, one bath. And so the duplex. They're in a close to a school. One of them needs about $15,000 in rehab to get it up to rentable operation.
One
and,
unit.
To for both units.
Okay.
$15,000 to get it going. And so.
And when what can you rent it for?
About $500-$600 a month per unit.
Each. Okay.
Each.
And how much are you asking for it?
We've got $16,000 into it, so we're trying to just get our money back.
$16,000, you're trying to get your money back.
Yes.
Okay. Before you do that, I want to make a little suggestion, okay? Why don't you run you an ad, put together an ad, and put it down for attention investors, no bank qualifying, cash flow, owner will finance, duplex, $49,900 with $15,000 down.
Yep. No, we've tried that. Actually, we've done it. We've put it out to the owner finance for $25,000.
Uh-huh.
And so we had a few calls and everything, but the situation is it's got an upgraded electrical panel, but it needs a little bit more work done. And it's got a leaking roof. So I think it's at the point that it seems to me from our experience that just for what needs to be done, the average person, the handyman coming in to look at it, I think it's a little overwhelming for them.
Okay, so it needs more work than just cosmetic stuff.
Yeah. So I think it's overwhelming for them when you get into electrical. So that's why I don't think we've had a whole lot of bites on the owner finance end of it, and that's why.
Well, there's a couple of RIA groups there. There's a couple of RIA groups there as well.
Okay.
If you'll plug into them, I believe it's called Cleveland RIA. I'm not sure. But the guy who used to run it, he recently passed away, but there's another guy that's running it. But if you'll reach out to them, there's some guys in there that do a lot of owner financing, so they might be able to help you sell it as well, or might know somebody that, you know, that might want that deal, whether it's cash or owner financing.
Okay, all right. We haven't done that yet, or the signs. I appreciate that, Larry.
Oh, sure. I hope that helps.
You bet. Thanks a bunch.
You're very welcome. My pleasure. Who else has a question?
I have a question.
Okay. Who's
this? This is Catherine Bundy.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing awesome. Doing awesome. Glad you made it.
I was wondering about, we're trying to do the Filthy Riches program, and I've been looking on Zillow, and I found a whole bunch of properties that are like around $20,000 or less. Are we supposed to finance that with our own money, or do we try to find private money to finance those and then turn it around, or how do we go about doing that?
Sure. So it really depends on your goal. Right now, what is your goal? Is your goal to create cash flow, or do you need cash?
Both. We need both.
Okay.
But cash up front would be great.
Okay, cash up front. So here's what you're going to need to do. You're going to need to buy the property, right?
Uh-huh.
Buy the property, and you're either going to need to fund it through, like, private money or something like that, and then sell the note, which would be short-term private money. Like, if you use me to fund the deal, you know, I want you to have your note buyer lined up, right? I want you to have your note buyer lined up. So if you don't have any note buyers, okay, if you don't have any note buyers, what I would like for you to do and what you need to do is go out and get some private money to fund your deal for you, right? And then let's say you pick up a house. Well, if it's listed for 20, let's say you pick it up for 10, okay?
Okay.
And then let's say you borrow $10,000 plus your closing costs. Maybe you're going to borrow $12,000, okay? So you're going to borrow $12,000, and then you're going to put it on the market for $29,900 with owner financing and get $5,000 down.
Okay.
That $5,000 is going to be your chunk of cash, right?
Right.
That's going to be your money that you're going to put in your pocket, okay?
Okay.
And then you set up your private money lender. You could do interest only. You could do like a 3-year amortization or a 5-year amortization or whatever it is you want to do, right? And because
right.
you're selling it on a land contract, you can keep that loan in place. Right, you can keep that loan in place if you wanted to, or you could even sell that loan, or you could sell a partial of it, or whatever it is you wanted to do. But if you're
right.
doing the Filthy Riches model, you're going to need to fund the deal, either get long-term funding like private lending, or you're going to have note buyers lined up in the wings to buy your deals, to
okay.
buy the notes. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The best thing to do is to go out and find some private money. You could even pay them like 1% a month interest only or something like that if you wanted to.
Okay. All right, cool. Thanks.
Sure. I hope that helps.
It did.
Good, good. Who else has a question?
Larry, I've got a question. It's Renee
sure.
from Connecticut.
Renee, what's up?
Doing okay, hanging in there.
Awesome.
A lot of the properties that I'm looking at have septics, and at least up here, the mentors that I've had have always shied away from septics. Do we?
Uh-huh.
We don't go around having them tested or anything like that, right? Like with the Filthy Riches model.
Uh-huh. If you're doing Filthy Riches model, and somebody's going to live in it. You want to make
mm-hmm.
sure the house is livable or close
mm-hmm.
to livable. So if that's
okay.
an issue, if that's an item where you live, then
mm-hmm.
I would definitely either have it tested or put it
mm-hmm.
in the contract that the seller
mm-hmm.
warrants that it works, and if it doesn't, then
mm-hmm.
they are going to make it right, fix it.
Okay. Great.
Yeah,
great.
If it is an issue there, and it sounds like it is.
Yeah, up here it is, but most of the ones I'm looking at are like in North Carolina and stuff like that. But
oh, okay. Then you typically don't have to worry about that here.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Connecticut would tend to have really older ones.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Great. Thank you.
Awesome. I hope that helped.
It sure does.
Good, good, good. Anybody else have a question?
Hey, Larry, this is Forrest from Virginia.
Forrest, what's going on, buddy? How you been?
I've been great. Yourself?
Man, I am doing good. Doing good. Thanks a lot.
Good. Good. So my question is, I'm in a negotiation with a person over a property, and it's been, like, taking a month, you know, for this deal, and every time, you know, we'll agree to something, I'll write a new purchase agreement, and then she'll have questions and she'll want this or that changed. Well, the latest sticking point happens to be that, you know, she wanted I wanted a $100 escrow deposit, and she wanted a $500 escrow deposit, and she wanted to work with her title company. And so I finally agreed because I feel that it's a good enough risk that, you know, I can do the $500 escrow, but I wanted to put it with my lawyer. And
right.
she said she would rather have it with her title company, but it's my right, isn't it, to, you know, put my money wherever I want to, and it's her right to have her title company handle her ends. I mean, we don't have to have the same you know, attorneys or title companies to close a transaction. She can handle her side of it with whoever she wants, and you know, it's my right to do that, my money wherever I want. Correct?
You're absolutely right. It is your right to do that. Just remember, if you use two different attorneys or title companies, they're going to be two different sets of closing costs.
Right.
So
I understand.
So I guess what you need to decide is how important is it to you for the $500, and how important is it to you? Well, you already said you conceded on the $500, but how important is it to you to have your own title company to close the deal?
I'm fairly comfortable with using, you know, the other title company, because, I mean, you know, they're bound by law. You know, if I take them on, you know, they have to have a fiduciary duty to,
right,
you know, honor me. So, you know, I'm not, like, you know, choosing, you know, her neighbor or anything.
Right.
But, you know, I think that, you know, by, you know, just making sure that I do everything in my inspection period, and so my strategy is, you know, to take the $500, do what I have to do, and then just, you know, use my inspection period to wholesale it. That's my intent with this property, is to wholesale it and see if I can't get a wholesale in my inspection period. And if not, find, you know, something in my, you know, umbrella clause to get me out of the deal and get my $500 back. That's really my strategy.
Right.
That.
So as long as you have an inspection period, right?
Right.
And if you put the money with her attorney or title company, then I would make sure that you communicate with the attorney or title company during the inspection period. For example, if you've got a 15-day inspection, on about day 12 or 13, if you're not, you know, if you're not comfortable, you don't have a buyer, or you don't, you know for sure if you're going to move forward, then you want to send a letter to the attorney or title company, I should say, either asking for an extension or a cancellation of contract to get a refund of your deposit. You know, number one, you know, I'm unfortunately not finished with my due diligence. It's taken longer than I expected. According to the terms and conditions of the agreement, I have a 15-day inspection period. This is day 13. I need to either cancel the contract and get a full refund of the deposit, or extend the due diligence period for another 15 days.
Okay.
And put that in writing to the title company, so they're aware,
right,
that you're doing this to protect your deposit.
Right.
Make sense?
Okay. Yes.
Good. So are you negotiating this deal with her by email or on the phone, or in writing, or what?
It's a combination of email and phone.
Okay. Well, I think, you know, and I don't really know what her motivation is or anything, but, you know, next time, if you do have to have another round of this with her or even anybody else, don't give up something without getting something, right? Don't give up something.
Yeah, I have yeah, employed that strategy all along. So I am employing that strategy. It's, yeah,
right.
I think that her strategy is she keeps holding off on this contract, trying to find a better price. Is my gut
on it. Like on,
I do.
Yeah, okay, good. Put a deadline on it, and then you can go dark on her. You know, meaning you stop responding to her, right? If she misses the deadline, just stop responding for, you know, 3 to 5 days or whatever, and then she's going to get a little skittish about, you know, oh, I'm about to lose this one. I thought I had this ace in the hole, but I'm about to lose this. So, you know, let her know that she's not in control in a passive type way.
Right.
Good.
Okay.
Anyway, I hope that helped.
All right, thank you.
You're very welcome. How's your wife?
She's awesome. She's awesome.
I hear you. How's the staging business going?
She's in the middle of one at the moment. So. So
I believe it.
She's going, well, to be honest with you, staging business is a little difficult right now because the market is so good that a lot of investors are just foregoing it.
Yeah, they're selling without it.
Yeah, it's amazing how a great market can be great for some people and a challenge for other people, right?
Exactly.
So, like, I'm staring at a Toys R Us going out of business sign right now. You know, it's like the market's so great for some people, and some people is like couldn't be any worse. So,
I know, right?
Interesting.
That's crazy. Will you tell her I said hi?
I will, certainly. Thank you.
All right, cool. Anybody else have a question?
Hey, Larry, this is Jeannie again. I was just going to ask you real quick. I believe in your course, you don't provide like a standard owner finance contract, do you? Because every state's different.
Well, I do have a land contract or contract for deed, and I think there's even a mortgage or deed of trust in there. But yes, you are right. Every state is different.
Okay.
And but I do provide some as examples, but I always encourage people to use a local attorney or title company to make sure everything that they're doing is compliant with their state.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'll go in there. It's just in the documents section.
Yeah, it would be on the forms disk, or if it's online.
Okay.
If you have the digital version, it would be under the forms and documents.
Okay. Perfect. I'll check it out then. Thank you.
Awesome. You're welcome. You're welcome. Anybody else have a question?
Larry, this is Jeremy. Piggybacking on Forrest's comment about market trends, what tactics are you seeing as of late as being most effective in identifying properties that really meet that Filthy Riches or HUD Homes half-off type of discount rate? And are you seeing anything specific with regard to stick-built versus mobile homes at the moment?
Yeah, okay. As far as the market is hot right now, especially in the fix and flip type prices, and the higher price properties. On the lower price properties, it's still possible. We bought a house just the other day, actually, for $10,000. It started out being listed in the 40s, then the 30s, then the 20s, and we got it for $10,000. And we had somebody that wanted it, and we sold it for $24,000 cash. Typically in the smaller towns is where you're going to still see that you can get some deep discounts on properties. Even on the high-priced properties, we just got a house last week under contract that it was a HUD house listed for $262,000. We picked it up for $133,000, and we're wholesaling it for $149,900. It needs about $25,000 in work. But it's out in a small town, probably 2 or 3 hours from our office, in South Carolina, down near the Georgia line. And but there's still deals out there right now. But there are fewer deals than there were a few years ago. Right? So I tell people, HUD is just one source. MLS is just one source. But I also see that you can still get some of the low-priced houses, even on-market and off-market, by expanding and doing double-wides. We're buying some double-wides. You can find them listed for $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 and pick them up for $15,000, $20,000, $25,000. You got to make a lot of offers. That's just the way it is. You're not going to make 5 offers and get a deal. You're not even going to make 25 offers and get a deal, right? You might have to make 50 or 100 on the MLS, and then you might have to offer 200 or 300 on HUD to get one. But they're out there. We got 4 offers accepted last week just from HUD. We threw one of them back, but we did get 4 offers accepted last week from HUD. And that one I just told you about, 262, and we got it for 133, is one of them.
Okay.
But also, right now what's working good is Facebook ads, Facebook marketing, and direct mail. You can look up direct mail list at listsource.com. Look up direct mail list and send out postcards. There's services that will do that for you. like yellowletterhq.com or gobigprinting.com. And some people are even doing telemarketing now, where you can take your list, you can append your list. In other words, there's companies out there, just do a Google search for list appending, A-P-P-E-N-D-I-N-G, and you can send them a mailing list. They'll go out there to all the public sources of data, and they'll find phone numbers and email addresses. So then you can email them, and you can get on the phone. How about that?
Okay, yeah, those are all good tips. I know you you mentioned HUD several times, and recently you posted a video about the HUD auction website. Is that how you source those, or are you engaging with HUD a different way?
Well, the only way in the world to buy a HUD house is at HUDHomeStore.com. That's the only way. Do you have my book, HUD Homes Half Off?
Yes.
Okay, good. If you go through the book there, you'll see that. You know, that's the only place you can buy a HUD house is HUDHomeStore.com.
Great, thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. I hope that helped. Anybody else have a question?
Yes, Larry. You, if you wholesale a house and you buy it for 10 and you turn around and sell it for 20, that your gain is taxed at what, 36%? And
well,
if you could turn around and lease it with an option to buy for 18 months, does that get it past the to make it to long-term gains? And if that's the case, how does the guy turn around and get his money out of it if he needs the money out of it right away?
Okay, those are great, great, great questions. Awesome questions. So, first of all, we have to establish something. Are you a dealer? If you are a dealer, meaning you are in the business of buying and selling houses, buy, sell, like a car dealer, a boat dealer, you know, anything like that, that is being a dealer. So then capital gains are irrelevant. There is no capital gains. It's ordinary income taxed at your own individual tax rate, right? That's ordinary income if you're a dealer. Now, your first question, I'm sure, is what makes me a dealer, right? So what makes you a dealer is, did you buy it with the intent of selling it, right? That's what the IRS's definition is. And most people will tell you you can do probably three. Some attorneys I've heard will say you can do 5 to 7 of them before they're going to classify you as a dealer. There's even some clauses you can put in your offer that says, I'm buying this property with the intent of holding it for long-term investment. However, however, market conditions may change and I may have to sell it. You know, I don't know if that would hold up or not, if that makes much of a difference. But you could do that. So if it's ordinary income and you are a dealer, you're buying and selling enough of them where the IRS classifies that entity that you're buying and selling in as a dealer, then it is going to be ordinary income. Now, having said that, if you wholesale the property, it's no different than owning a car lot and you buy a car for $5,000 and sell it for $10,000 and you make $5,000, right? Minus all your expenses and all that. However, if you are a dealer and you sell or finance the house, in other words, say that again. All right, so let's say that you bought the house for 10 and you sold it with owner financing for 30. You put your own $10,000 into it. And then you sold it for 30, and let's say you got 5 down. Well, that's a $20,000 gain, but you didn't really realize that gain because you actually invested $10,000. Well, the IRS says if you are a dealer, you cannot take what's called the installment sale, okay? Which basically means the installment sale, if you're not a dealer and you sell a house, you buy it for 10 and you sell it for 30 with owner financing, you can report that income as you receive it. In other words, you report $5,000 of it when you got the down payment, and you'll report a little bit of it at the end of the year for interest and principal that you received in payment. Okay? Now, how do you get around that? Two things.
Press the blue button.
two things. Number one, do them in self-directed retirement accounts or HSA or ESA or 401k. Or number two, like you mentioned at the beginning of your question, lease option it for a year and then seller finance it. Because if they are going to default, meaning your borrower, if your borrower is going to default, they're typically going to default within the first 12 to 24 months, typically during the first 12 months. So if you lease option it, then and they last and they stick, then you could convert them to a land contract if you wanted to, and that avoids you being a dealer and thus allows you to take the installment sale. Now, let me go one step further. You mentioned in your question about cashing out on the deal. How do you get your money back? How do you cash out and get your profit? Let's say you bought that house for 10, you sold it for 30 with owner financing, but you needed to cash out to get your money back. So here's what you do. You buy it for 10, you sell it for 30, then let's say you sold the note for 20, okay? The IRS is going to look at it like this. When you bought it for 10 and sold it for 30, even with owner financing, you had a $25,000 or $20,000 gain, right? So now that you sold the note, once you sold the note for $20,000, right? Once you sold the note for $20,000, let's say they put $5,000 down, so you bought it for 10, you sold it for 30, you got $5,000 down, and you took a $25,000 note back. So you paid taxes on the $20,000 gain, but you also get to take a $5,000 loss when you sell that $25,000 note for $20,000. So you take the $5,000 loss, and it nets out as if you sold the whole deal, right, for $25,000. $20,000 for the note plus $5,000 for the down payment. So it all nets out as if it was a cash deal. So I tell people, if you're concerned about being a dealer, either keep it for a year, then convert it, or just sell all your notes, right?
Right.
Sell all your notes to cash out, and it's going to be a wash as if you sold it for cash for the note sale price plus your down payment. And I know that was a long explanation for your question, but it was a very good question, and I wanted to go into detail on it.
Now, am I right in thinking we do not want to become dealers?
Well, here's the thing. If it is what it is. If you're buying and selling and buying and selling and buying and selling and you're in the business and you're doing a lot of transactions, you are a dealer. There's no wannabe or not wannabe. You are a dealer, right? If you're in the business of buying and selling houses, you are a dealer. Nothing you can do about that. That entity that's buying and selling those houses is a dealer. You can have another entity that does nothing but buy and hold. Maybe it buys a property for $10,000 and lease options it for a year and then seller finances it, right? That is going to be an investment entity. That's not a dealer, right? If it's not selling the property right away, whether on a land contract or mortgage or deed of trust. And the reason people tell you, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. The reason people tell you you don't want to be a dealer is because of the rate, right? Is because of the tax rate. But if you are a dealer, it's going to be taxed as ordinary income. If you are not a dealer, you're able to take what's called the installment sale and pay the taxes as you receive it in payments at the end of each year. So I hope that helped answer your question.
But if you do it in a retirement fund, you're not considered a dealer?
If you do it in a retirement account and you don't sell the notes, the key is don't sell the notes. Keep the notes, right? Keep the notes. If you don't sell the notes, you should be okay with that. However, I'm going to tell you, like I tell everybody, make sure you consult your own tax advisor before acting on any information, because I'm not a CPA. You know, I don't know all of the rules and regs, but based on what I know and what I've heard other people say, that is the way to do it.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. I hope that helps. Anybody else have a question?
I do. Larry, this is this is Victor and Dorothy Quinones.
Hey.
How are you?
Excellent. How are you guys?
All right. Hey, we just chimed in. Sorry, but we just won a bid on an eBay home last night, and my question basically is, okay, what's the steps that I have to follow here to make sure everything goes according to the way it should?
Oh, when you're bidding?
Oh, I basically did as much research as I could online on this property.
Right.
We did win the bid last night.
Uh-huh.
There seems like there's some discrepancy with the township, the way they labeled a certain lot and or the lot next to it, but the way eBay described this property,
uh-huh,
it is, and Google, it's the property shown on eBay as being the one being sold, not the vacant lot next to it. Now, what is eBay's responsibility when it comes to that on description?
Well, first of all, you have to read your terms of the listing, right?
I did, yeah.
Okay, and second of all, it's my understanding, unless eBay has changed something, that auctions for real estate are not binding until a signed contract. You
okay.
can do a little bit of research on eBay to find out for sure.
Right.
But I have seen some auctions, and yours may have said this, that will say, regardless of eBay's terms on real estate, you are still entering into a binding auction, and we will report and give you negative feedback if you do not, if you win the auction and do not follow through.
Okay.
So you may want to check eBay's current terms and make sure about that, and look at your eBay listing that you bid on to check and see as well.
All right. Very good.
Yeah.
Now.
So, but always. Now, don't just let them send you a deed. You want to make sure you get a title search.
Right.
And you want to make sure you want that property, right? Make sure there's no back taxes,
yes.
no liens, no
right.
judgments, and no code violations. Those are four things you want to make sure. No back taxes, no liens, no judgments, and no code violations.
Okay. And at that point, if I don't like what comes back on the title search, what
uh-huh.
is
Well, then you would not close on it. You wouldn't close on the property. But once again, you need to look at your auction terms and see if they said anything about, you know, seller is not responsible for back taxes, liens, judgments, or code violations.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
And maybe that's, you know, they probably do have that in there.
They do.
Was
have
it a no reserve auction?
It's a no reserve, correct.
Okay, then that probably is in there. Did the auction start at a very low price?
Yeah.
It did.
Okay, good. Did it say that the deed will be delivered by quitclaim deed?
That's correct, because there's apparently
okay.
back taxes on this property.
Okay, that's what I was getting ready to say.
Yep.
Typically, if they offer a quitclaim deed, then there are going to be back taxes and maybe even liens or judgments or code violations.
Right.
So, you know, contact them. Some of the auctions even say, you know, we deliver a quitclaim deed for $25, but if you want a full closing with an attorney or title company, it's going to cost you this. So
right.
you always want to do the full closing with title insurance.
Okay.
And
we
make sure you're getting the property free and clear of any liens or judgments or code violations or back taxes.
Okay, so we can use our own hired title company to handle this, not go through theirs.
I would imagine so, but once again, you need to look at your auction terms, what you bid on.
All right.
Awesome. I hope that helped.
Closing costs for property are $500, which includes the deed
prep,
the state transfer.
Yeah, they list $500 on the closing costs, includes the deed prep, taxes, and recording fees, and auction fees. So that's included in the $500.
Does it say anything about title insurance or free and clear of any liens or judgments?
It does not.
Okay. Then chances are you know, you're taking it subject to any back taxes, liens, judgments, or code violations.
Okay. Okay.
And then what you'll have to do is once you pull up that list and see, you know, yeah, there's 1,500 in back taxes or this lien or whatever,
right,
then you'll just have to decide, do you want to close on it or not?
Okay.
Because they're not going to pay that. They probably, how much did you win the bid for? A few thousand dollars?
It was $6,000.
Yeah, okay.
On
so they probably, it was probably a tax lien property,
yep,
that they picked up for a few hundred.
Right. I believe there, I mean, we studied the amount of tax per year, and then we can almost see how many years they were back on.
Right.
We did a calculation there, and we kind of went over that just to be
put that in on the
safe side on the analysis.
Right.
Yep.
All right. All right. Good. I hope that helped.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope it helps too. So
good. Good. Let us know how it turns out.
All right. That's great. Thank you.
Awesome. You're welcome. Who else has a question? Anybody else have a question?
Larry, can I ask you one more? This is Victor again.
Sure.
Okay, on the go look, this is something I can do before closing, correct?
On the what? The go look?
Go look inspection, basically, to have somebody go in there and take pictures. And.
Sure, sure.
So that's something I can do as of right now, being that I did win the bid. I have 72 hours to get this deal done. So
Yeah, you might want to reach out to your people and let them know that you're going to inspect the property.
Okay.
I mean, you know, with an eBay, they're probably going to say, that's fine, you can do it, but your winning bid is not contingent on your inspection.
Right. I understand that, yep.
Okay, good.
And
awesome.
What else did we have here for him, basically? Yeah. Yeah, we had a question on the IRA, but I think we have them answered this morning by a tax preparer that we have now.
Oh, okay, good.
We're going to try to do all the transactions through this IRA, this Roth.
Great. Great. Who is it with?
Kamaplan.
So
okay, good.
We took some advice from you. See that?
Yeah, there you go. That's good. Yeah, Carl's a good friend of mine. They'll do you right.
Right, okay. I don't know.
I have four or five accounts with him.
It's kind of the first property we're buying through this kind of here. So, first one under your plan. So, it's kind of a little nerve-wracking because just there's a lot of unknowns. But
well, just remember, the first one, you know, is the toughest.
Right. I believe that.
You know, it's a learning experience, and then you'll know the drill from there on out.
Okay. And the only other question I had a question whether to basically rent this property or try to wholesale it out. And that's something, it's in another state, obviously. So I guess the best way to approach that would be, I'd like to just wholesale it off, you know.
Right. And based on the fact that it was on eBay,
right,
and it probably has some back taxes, it's probably in pretty rough shape and you're going to have to put a lot of money into it if you wanted to rent it. So
right.
I would recommend either seller financing it or wholesaling it.
Yeah. Well, according to the look on this property and the pictures we've seen, the place is in very, very good shape. So it's just this question. It's a big question mark. Why, you know?
Right, right.
Okay, you know, but basically signage in the neighborhood and that type of thing that we learned about, that's something that we
yeah
probably do.
Yeah, put out a sign. How far is the house from where you live?
Oh, this is in Mississippi. I live in Charlotte, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, so you could find a temp agency or somebody on Craigslist or somebody on one of the Facebook groups to go out and be your boots on the ground.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, that's kind of the direction we were thinking of going here. So.
Awesome. And you might even offer them a few a few hundred bucks to just show it for you a few times. And then let you know, when it sells, you'll pay them a few a few hundred bucks instead of paying them, you know, $50 to go put out signs.
So do you have a name of an agency that that I would probably lean towards using?
No, because what you do is there, most tip agencies are just small independent companies. So where is the property? Is it in Jackson, Mississippi?
It's in Tupelo, Mississippi.
So go to Google and type in Tupelo, Mississippi Temporary Employment Agencies.
Temporary Employment, okay.
Right.
All right.
There you go. I hope that helps.
Well, we'll go that route. That sounds good.
Awesome. Anybody else have a question? Anybody else? All right, well, you guys know that you can reach out to me anytime you want to in between these calls. Send me an email to larry@larrygoins.com. Make sure you put Inner Circle in the subject line. Also, if you want to call me, you can call and leave a message, 803-831-2857, and I will call you back. It's probably quicker to shoot me an email and just say, I need to talk to you. Can you call me? And be sure and put your phone number in there, because I don't check my messages near as often as I do my email. So with that, if there's no other questions, I really appreciate you guys. Appreciate your business. And thank you so much for being on here. And keep making offers. Remember, the three most important things in real estate, make offers. So thanks a lot, guys. I hope everybody has a great week.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
Thank you, Larry.
Thanks, Larry. Bye.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thanks. Bye. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.